Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die. My prayer is that God would speak to our hearts this morning, to the smallest struggle with worry. You know, that small one that we go, well, it's not that big of a thing. I kind of thrive on that. No, it's not biblical. Don't thrive on worry. Don't ever embrace it. I'll tell you what I want you to do this morning. You categorically reject it, the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. You tell it, get thee behind me, because worry is nothing but what? Faithlessness masquerading a overwhelming fear. And God is not a God of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Amen? That's what we're going to dwell in this morning. And this morning, I pray we can unpack the theology and deconstruct the theology that says, hey, I like worry and I want to hang on to it, and help you see that it is nothing that gives you anything. It merely robs you of everything and hurts you even physically. I hope you found this morning's scripture again in 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll look at verses 6 through 18. And if you are able physically, let's stand out of reverence this morning for the reading of God's word. 'When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel, he conferred with his servants, "My camp will be at such and such a place." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Be careful passing by the place, for the Arameans are going to be down there." Consequently, the king of Israel sent word to the place the man of God had told him about. The man of God repeatedly warned the king so the king would be on his guard. The king of Aram was enraged because of this matter, called his servants and demanded of them, "Tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel." One of his servants said, "No one, my lord the king. Elijah the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in your bedroom." So the king said, "Go and see where he is, so I can send men to capture him." When he was told Elijah is in Dothan, he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early and went out, he discovered an army with horses and chariots surrounding the city. So he asked Elijah, "Oh, my master, what are we going to do?" Elisha said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us outnumber those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, please open his eyes and let him see." So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Please strike this nation with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, according to Elisha's word. Father God, we thank you this morning for the stories like this, the stories that reaffirm, God, your protective hand, that you are the Lord of armies, you are the God of everything, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Father, pray this morning that your heart, you would speak to each and every heart, your very heartbeat, Father. The very essence of your desire for our life would be burned on our hearts, our minds. Give us ears to hear, hearts that are receptive, Father, that we would go forward in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit, living out your plan for our life. And Father, I pray that every word that's spoken today will do nothing but lift and glorify you and you alone up. Surround this building with your protective angels. Purge anything that would not honor or glorify you, so that you're the sole focus of everything that's said and done. We ask this all in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, did anybody else track with me in that story and you're like, "Whew, get him, God"? Huh? If you didn't, you didn't really catch the story. I had to read it a few times before I really, it jumped out to level when God laid it on my heart. I was having a hard time understanding it because there's a lot going on there. You're going, wait a minute, is there somebody in there that's telling? And you realize ultimately when you slow down and read it that it's powerful. Listen to verse 8. "When the king of Aram was waging war against Israel," so we got a war going on, "he conferred with his servants." He went and asked his servants, "Hey, my camp will be at such and such a place. Let me tell you, this is where the camp's going to be." leads to the first thing that I want to share with you this morning, the first principle, and it's this. God knows every detail of our lives. He knows all of them. God knows what's going on in our body right now that we don't. God knows the little dark spot on an x-ray or an MRI, or the one that we wouldn't have right now if we had a scan that we will have a year from now. God knows what's going on. My dermatologist told me that skin cancer can start and be inoperable or untreatable to that level within a few months, if it's that kind, having spread in a potential stage 4 in months. Well, thanks for the encouragement, Doc, right? But see, what I'm trying to say in that is, you and I can spend our entire day getting scanned and checked. I want you to know something. You better realize that the God of creation holds you and I. Don't let a doctor be the one that dictates whether you or I are healthy. Amen? I read a story this week about somebody here locally that had a stroke, a rather young woman. Didn't know what happened, having a hard time figuring out. She ended up having a stroke. Don't know why. Trying to figure it out. Can't figure it out. They're actually having a benefit for her yesterday at Tire Muffler, I believe, in town. Do you think God knew about what's going on in her body? Do you think when somebody gets cancer, God goes, "Oh, I missed one. I can't believe it." No. Do you think that if you and I sit around worrying about whether you're going to get cancer, that that's going to keep it from happening? No. Do you think that if you run every day and you exercise and you eat this perfect little diet and you eat out of your all-natural, whatever you call it, garden there, whatever they call them, organic, and that you're not going to, that's going to prevent you from getting any kind of sickness? No. Sometimes I think we buy into that. I saw some eggs this morning. There was a case of eggs. It says they're fed a vegetable diet. Those eggs weren't good as them home, those Mennonite ones we get. I don't like them vegetable-eating chickens. The yolks weren't as yellow. You got it. Tell me that's more healthy for me? The vegetables they probably feed is loaded up with chemicals, right? You don't know. But see, so many times, though, we get so bound up and wound up and worked up. How many times have you watched a person who, you ready for this? This is always the statement. They were the picture of health. They were the picture of health. They ran every day. They did blah, 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 blah. That's why I told you guys I don't exercise because I'm not going to risk it. Everybody gets healthy and something happens. I'm just joking with you. Please be healthy. Treat your body. Temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? But you better realize this. God knows every single detail of our lives. And just because you and I can't begin to comprehend the incomprehensible ability for God to do that doesn't change the reality of it. Have you ever seen a before COVID, a video of walking around in Hong Kong or in Beijing? Has anybody ever seen that? You've never seen a more, and the only way I can explain it is like somebody vomited people. It's just like, they're like ants everywhere. The camera person, you know, they're just, you think they're gonna hit them. And you go, huh? Anybody ever seen Thailand? Huh? Cambodia? You ever seen Mumbai, India? You ever seen a video of death? You ever seen it? Oh my goodness, look at the traffic light. You wanna talk about a nightmare for an ADD person? Watch a traffic light in Mumbai. Now, wait a minute, Brother Jonathan. You mean God knows what's going on over in the India in every one of those believers' lives and every one of the believers in the middle of the jungle right now in Ecuador or anywhere? You mean that the Christians in prison in Tehran, in Evin prison, one of the most notoriously terrible prisons, You mean that God knows all about that? He knows me too. How can he do it? Because how can he be there all the time? There you go. We are finite. What does finite mean? It means we're limited. We're limited. God is infinite. Now, how in the world can a finite mind like ours understand the infinite mind of God? You look at Antares and Arcturus, do your homework on it. Tell me the size of those planets in comparison to Earth. Friends, this is a joke in size. No joke. We are not a dust dot on the size of Arcturus and Antares. The size of our Earth is, our sun is a pixel. And our sun's a lot bigger than us. What that means is when God spoke into existence what is present, he spoke ex nihilo. Study that alone. Spoken word alone. He did not have to go to the celestial junk pile and say, oh, give me about 4 tons of magnesium, about 30 billion tons of gold. Let's see, they might need some iron. Give him about 300 megatons. Maybe add a little bit. No. God spoke it, and let me just tell you this. I believe in the Big Bang, right? God spoke it, and boom! It was instantaneously in being. We can't understand that. I can't. Can you? But has it changed the truth of the fact that God knows every detail of our lives? I'll tell you what it does to me. It makes me so thankful for it. It makes me so thankful that one day I'm not going to have to worry about a God that's going to go, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being good. I'm just tired of it. I'm worn out. It's just time to do bad. God can't. It would defy his very nature. God is holy, and that's all he could do. Guess what? The opportunity with Jesus, right? We look at that. By the way, that's a big time thought to go through. You want to talk about melting your brain. When you think about, well, what if Jesus had sinned? He couldn't. He's God. Amen? He was tempted in all ways, showing us in the power of the Holy Spirit, we are able to stand firm under temptation. God cannot defy his very character, his nature, though we cannot understand it. God knows everything about us right now. What if I don't speak it? Guess what? He knows our hearts. He knows our minds and our thoughts. That's neat. Some of you are going, oh, Lord, help me. He knows our battles. He knows our struggles. See, it didn't matter that King Aram was well-equipped. As a matter of fact, he was well-equipped. We see it here. It didn't matter that he had good intelligence officers because he had everything going on. He knew what was going on. He knew when Elisha was going here and going there. Nothing in King Aram's battle plans, his strengths, or his threats were anything that was going to be able to thwart God's design and his will. You know that applies to us. See, God knows every detail of our lives, and that's sufficient for me. Because he's never lied, he's never broken his promise, and I'm just saying to me, and I guess what? Every single person who's come down through history can also to attest to the same thing. God has always been faithful. The only variable in that is us. Listen to verses 11 through 15 again. It says, the king of Aram then was enraged because of the matter. He calls his servants, demands of them, tell me which one of us is for the king of Israel. One of their servants said, no one, my lord the king. Elisha, the prophet of Israel, tells the king of Israel, even the words you speak in your bedroom. So the king said, go and see where he is so I can send men to capture him. When he was told Elisha's in Dothan, he sent horses, chariots, and a massive army there. They went by night, surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up early in the morning, went up. He discovers the army of horses, chariots surrounding the city. So he asks Elisha, oh, my master, what are we to do? Please, the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, it's this. Even when it seems hopeless, God is the way maker. He's actually really good about that. You know why he does that? If God let us go forward in situations that we knew the way in and we knew how, let me tell you something about us. I'm talking about all of us as humans. We take the power of the glory for the outcomes. Do you know that? We're notorious for it. We all are, not just you, not just me. We all are notorious. Well, I just doing the best I can, we said humbly, right? Just trying to do my best. Remember, right? Then you stand before the Lord. Well, I tried to be a good person, Lord, tried to help everybody. We talked about this Wednesday night. That's what happens when you don't have the power of the Lord that answers these situations and makes them straight so that then he makes it like this. He relies on, or brings us that place where we have to rely on him. We have to call on him, and many times in desperation, God, I trust you right now. I don't know what to do, but I know you're going to come through. Because when he answers, we have no way to say, well, I was just doing my best. No, you say, I was absolute in desperation, and God made a way. God came through. God met that need. He led me, he guided me, he directed me, just like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Even when it seems hopeless, God is the way maker. Don't forget that. And I want to tell you what to do. Hold God accountable. You pray in accordance with God's will, and you act in accordance with his leading, and see if he lets you down. He never lets us down. Listen to 17 and 18 again. I love this. This is the best part. Then Elisha prayed, Lord, please open his eyes, let him see. So the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked, saw that the mountain was covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Arameans came against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, please strike the nation with blindness. So he struck them with blindness according to Elisha's word. Ladies, the third and final thing I want to share with you this morning is this. God shows his faithfulness by making the impossible possible. How many times have you and I as Christians said, it's impossible? There's no way. It's impossible. Meaning it can't happen. Even in the last month, I wish I could share the stories in the last month in my life about God, his provision, his faithfulness. I wish I could. Some of them would give away people's stories I'm involved in and things, and it's going to be a while before I can share it. I'm just telling you, God has been so good. Do you realize that right this very moment, there's spiritual warfare going on right now in this building? See, Elisha prayed that God would let them see it. I wish God would let us see it. Actually, we probably would all crawl in the pews and freak out if we saw just an angel. You know why? They're God's agents of Breaking Bad. They're not those fluffy little things we think we see up there. Oh, no, no. They're warriors. They are killers, fighters that fiercely protect God's will, his word, and his people. Praise the Lord. Amen. But you want to get nervous. You think about that sometimes, and there's realms that you and I might enter into that we shouldn't be into, because if you realize the warfare that occurs in those realms again, that make us think twice about what we're involved in or doing. Sometimes when we see these stories, we struggle with one of the factors. Well, that was them. That was them. Yeah, that was in the Old Testament. That's a long time ago. God doesn't do that stuff anymore. Y'all, I hope Some of you guys have listened on Sundays when I've mentioned the Voice of the Martyrs. Get on there and get their email. It won't cost you nothing. Did you hear from the pastors all over that God, hey, I'm talking about pastors that were getting ready to get killed, that people ended up saying, well, there was these guards. You guys had these guards around the building, and they were scared to attack it because there was all these armed guards. Armed guards, what? God is a way maker. Yeah, things don't look good in our country. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to call it what it ain't. It don't look good. It looks like we're at a place of division. I said to my wife this morning, Mom, I don't see a way out of this. Apart from a divine work of God, repentance, in a major shaking spiritually and brokenness, I said, Mama, I don't see a way around this and through this. And I don't say that to make you go, oh, no, the preacher says I'd make you. No, I'm just going to shoot straight with you. I am not here to blow a bunch of sunshine and smoke. I'm a realist. You know what I thank God for, though? God's got every detail worked out. That's what I thank Him for. And I want to encourage you to do something. If you've been messing around with the Lord and you've been cutting up spiritually and been like, well, yep, so great. I get so excited on Sundays about church. And yeah, right. I get out the door and I'm like, well, that's over with. Thank you, Lord. Check. If you've been doing that, I want to challenge you to do something. I want to challenge you today. And I'm just going to put it like Mr. Durwood Blackburn's father would have said, you better get right with Jesus. And I'm serious when I say this. This is what I say beyond a shadow of a doubt this morning, church. The time clock is getting really short. I don't know if you know what I'm saying. Do I know that Jesus is going to come back, take everybody out like we all? I don't. I'm a pan-millennial. It's going to pan out when it happens. Whatever happens, I'm fine with it. If God leave us here for the... it's not my what I think it is. It's what God and His design, plan for His glory. Whatever happens is going to happen, and I'm going to be there to witness it at that time, even if I'm dead. Amen? This is what I want to challenge you to do. If you look at the situational happenings around us, that would not lend one in our country. When you actually watch Whitney Houston, if I remember the year, it was about 1991, and it was at the Dallas Stadium when she sang the Star Spangled Banner. Good gracious, if you ever heard that, watch it again. Boy, she plumb tore it up. What a gift. They flew the F-16s, I think, or 14s back then over the stadium. Remember that? It's right at the beginning, the Gulf War. I hope I'm not the only one who remembers that, me and Mom. Anybody else? You, church, where y'all been? You're gonna think I've lost my mind when I say this. Do you know that I remember 1976? I was 2 years old. I was at the Homestead Air Force Base in Homestead, Florida. I can smell right now. I can still see the pond that we sat around, and I can still watch the Thunderbirds. You know what the Thunderbirds are? I was 2 years old. That's when I was woke. That's when I came to life. I'll never, ever, ever forget the display of patriotism on July 4th of 1976. I'll never forget between 1989-ish and 1991, the patriotic display. Can you imagine if somebody said, we're going to burn a flag? That had been right before the pain started. We're at a different place. We're at a very different place. Does that mean that God's out of control? No. His plan is unfolding according to His will and His plan. And that's awesome. And it's a greater comfort for you and I who are in His perfect will for our life. What does that mean? You've come to Jesus Christ in saving faith, placing your faith and trust in the finished work of Christ Jesus, meaning He died for you. That represents life, not death. It represents the life that we've been given because He died and paid a price for our sin, and therefore we will not die for our sin and spend an eternity separated from God. It is by grace and through faith that He extends this offer of redemption, not because we deserve it, but because He loves us. What right now Do we have to sit around and enjoy? I'll wait till later on. Wait for what? Wait for what to show up at your door and then all of a sudden you're ready to get right? Don't forget this. If God is working on your heart and you say, I'll do it later, what are you telling me? I'll come to you when I decide to. You are rejecting the gift of salvation and the extension of God's mercy through Jesus Christ because you want to enjoy the wiles of sin in this world for a season that will merely leave you broken, hurt, absolutely and completely empty. The selfishness, the drugs, the alcohol, the transformed mental condition that you want to operate in because, well, I think it's fun, but really, no, you're wanting an altered mental state because you don't like what life is. Let me challenge you with something right now. You'll never like what life is apart from Christ. Because there is no fulfillment. There's no hope. There's no joy. There's no peace until you walk with the Prince of Peace, and that's Jesus Christ. Oh man, it's kind of boring. I used to say that. I actually used to say that while I rode down the creek or road or anywhere else with coolerfuls of beer on there thinking, I could not imagine spending my day sitting in a stinking church. What an absolute drag. I used to, dead up serious, used to sit and think and process that. Let me tell you one thing. When Jesus Christ's work of salvation redeemed me and the mercy of God that happened September 20th, 04, I want to tell you what. Never in my lifetime did I think that looking back at what I used to think was fun and believing for a moment that that lifestyle, I would ever look at and be reviled by it. Vile. I wouldn't want to go back for that for anything in this world. Because there was one major component missing back then. And that was peace. Peace. The joy. The hope. Well, do you want to get saved just so you won't go to hell? No. That was a secondary blessing. You know what I realized when I came to Christ? Life has no meaning apart from knowing the one that created you with a distinct purpose. That is what knowing Christ is. The byproduct is that we spend our eternities one day in His presence in a place that we know is heaven. But I pray you don't make that decision based on, oh, I just want to go to heaven one day. Because a person that doesn't know they're lost, what are you getting saved from? Tell me. Well, I prayed one time because everybody else did. Really. No one comes to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws or enables, as some version says. So if God hasn't opened your heart and revealed that you are lost, you are separated from Him, what can you be saved from? Are you tracking? Anybody tracking? That's why when God revealed to me my broken heart, my lost state, this young boy, me, then 29, who had heard sermon after sermon, summer camp after summer camp, getting saved after getting saved. No, I was in no way saved. Why? Because I had never understood the lost state that I was in. And I never understood what it was like to reach out for the redemptive work of Christ Jesus to do what? To merely join me with the Creator in a union of salvation. To begin to understand my purpose. That's what happened on September 20th. That's why it's very, very important for all of us, as I shared Wednesday night, if you were here. I said it's very important for us all to step back, to do an introspective look, salvationally speaking. What is my salvation experience? Do you remember the time that you were lost and the Spirit of God revealed to you that you did not know Him as Lord and Savior? Do you remember that time that you, understanding that Jesus Christ had come, had lived, and died, bore a sin debt that you never could pay, died, 3 days later, rose from the grave, and right now is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and you, understanding that, decided to come to Him in all of your brokenness, all of your hurt, all of your separated state, and bring Him a sin debt, bring Him what you and I could never deal with on our own, bringing Him nothing more than the heartache and pain that we are. God, I only have this. I come to you in faith. I don't deserve it, but God, I love you, and I want nothing more than to know the fellowship of walking with my Father and knowing you. God, I give you my life today. God, I don't have anything to offer you, but thank you for saving me, for loving me. And God, I'll serve you to the day that I die. Do you recognize what that is now? Versus, man, I don't want to go to hell. Lord, save me. You see what I'm talking about? That God loves you. He cares for you. He knows you by name. He knows every detail. Beautifully, divinely. And what's so profound? This morning, you can look at the Arameans around Elisha and imagine this morning that you're Elisha, not as a follower of Christ, you're lost. And you believe you're in His will, but the enemy is using the Arameans around you to protect you from hearing truth, from knowing truth. And this morning, are you going to allow the world be protection to keep you from truth? Are you going to keep living in what you or I believe, or are we going to live in truth? I've got nothing to gain. I'm not a numbers person, people. Meaning, I've said this before, and I mean it with all sincerity. We have seen an amazing work of God here in 12 years. If not one more person came to faith in Christ, we have seen so much of the blessing of God. How could I ever ask God for anything else? Would I love to see mountains of people? Yes, that's my desire. But listen, I'm not here for numbers. I'm here to see people truly come to saving faith in Jesus Christ and grow and become what God divinely created them to be. I'm not here for another number in a newspaper, on the Southern Baptist website, or anything else. I'm not climbing a ladder, and I don't need a resume stacked thick one day so that I can get the next biggest church. By God's grace, I'll never fall for that trap. And should the Southern Baptist, and I say this right here on the recorded so you can go back to it, should the Southern Baptist denomination vary from the tenets of Scripture, church, I'll stand up before you and I'll make a motion that we pull out of this denomination and association and place ourselves in a Bible-believing, solid, godly, doctrinal fellowship. And if the church said we're not going to do it, friends, I don't say that as no threat at all, but I know one thing. I would have to go because I cannot be a part of a fellowship that is in fellowship with people who do not believe and agree with what God's Word says. That is imperative for all of us to be in God's will because it's not what we think. And men are inherently wicked. There are things that I don't like going on in our denomination right now. There's some things that I'm watching that I'm getting a little concerned about. And it's that tendency in all denominations over time to swing sometimes in directions that shouldn't be. Some of you have come to me about a couple of them, and I'm chasing everything down because I want to know the truth about things. I know one thing. Everything that this body of Christ is to be is not based on what anyone or anything else tells us it should be. Our sole authority is the inerrant Word of God. And should anything ever vary from that, we have an obligation to stand on the steadfast promises of God's Word. Not a movement, not a country, nothing, but God, His truth, His power, because that is the soul-delivering force that you and I have. Should we not have any denomination to attach ourselves to if it came to that point in this country? Lord forbid we'd have to do that, because I do not like when churches have to go it alone. It's a dangerous thing. Amen? Why? Because we are inherently wicked. Even as followers of Christ, we need accountability. Amen? Very important for us always to recognize truth, to know it, and be like the Bereans. What did the Bereans do? They heard what was preached. What did they do? They went back to make sure it lined up with the gospel, because if it wasn't, they wanted nothing to do with it. And I'm not even talking about the modern-day Berean church. I'm talking about the Bereans in the Scripture in Acts. They wanted truth. And I pray you're here this morning because you want the truth of God. Amen? If you don't want it, you don't want to be here. What does God's word call us to? Line our lives up with truth. I love my parents to death, but if my parents didn't represent truth, I could not stand up here and attest to their character and say that my parents represent truth. If I for a moment would think, well, they pretty much were in line with truth, but they were really out there, I could not stand here and do that, because I won't stand before my parents one day. I'll stand before the God of creation in his holiness and his righteousness to give an account for my life. And you will do the same thing. And it is of utmost importance, especially at this time in history, that you and I have a thirst and have an absolute love, hopelessly desiring and driving at the core tenet of God's word, his will, and his plan for our life, knowing that he holds every detail in the palm of his hands. You and I knowing that if we're Elijah and we're woken up and our servant says, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. The God of angel armies. Huh? Michelle, where you at? I'm probably didn't start singing just then. There's a song that says that the God of angel armies is always by my side. Y'all are getting rusty. Y'all want to listen to new country songs in here, church. Eddie, extended invitation. Where's Eddie? Hope he's okay. I was getting ready to have Eddie sing. We're going to do it, though. No. Please listen to what I'm saying. Truth can't be changed. That's why it's called absolute moral truth. What does absolute mean? That means it doesn't change. Do you realize that God's character, he is what? The same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. So real truth is rooted in his character, therefore cannot be changed. Though denominations change, though cultures rise and fall, truth never changes. Well, Brother Jonathan, I'm seeing churches do that. Are they rooted in God's truth? No, they're rooted in man's desire to do what he wants to do and find a way to justify the actions that they desire to live within. God's truth is the same truth that Mr. Pastor Durwood's dad father, Mr. Blackburn, preached. It's the old time religion. Meaning, doesn't mean that because they wore a suit or they did this, they were, no. The gospel truth is the gospel truth. The same truth that 3,000 years ago was truth, guess what? It's the same truth that's true right now. 3,000 years from now, truth will be the same. And it doesn't matter if at that point there are people still here that have no gender, don't know what in the world they are, floating on bubbles that are living eternally on earth. Listen, still won't change the truth of what God's word says, right? So that's what I say. Recognize this morning that truth is rooted in the person and work of Christ, and God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It is unchangeable, it is defensible, and it's completely rational and sane, actually. What is not is the proclivity of us to embrace things that we know are completely outside of God's word, because we desire to be embraced by the world. Do you want the blessing of God this morning? Or do you want the acclaim or praise of man? One brings you peace, hope, joy, and rest. another leaves you merely a servant to an ever-changing person or entity, only for you to one day close your eyes, never having achieved what you thought you would, completely exhausted and eternally empty. Does God ever, does he have every bit of access to everything you are today? Are you resting in the fact that if you, you know, I want to do God's will, but I'm scared he might do this with me? Let me just tell you, let go and let God. If you let go and let God today, let me just tell you one thing. This is true. If the Lord sent me to downtown, I used to live in Washington, D.C. in 2001 on 9/11. I was living in Washington, D.C. If God was to say to me right now, listen, do you want to go to Washington, D.C.? You don't even know if he asked me, oh, Lord, oh, no, no, listen, woo. Would I go? God wants me to go. I'll go anywhere God wants me to go. I'd go to Mumbai. You see where I just started pacing? Makes me nerve. My legs get weak thinking about it. I'll go wherever you want me to go, God, because I'm not mine, I'm yours. If I was to say, God, I'll do anything you want, as long as it is at 101 Cooper Road and 211 Richmond Cemetery, Lord, I'll do anything. What have I done? God, I'll be faithful as long as it falls into my desire, my plan, and what I think my life should be. What is yielded obedience? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Are you struggling with that? Well, I want you to do something today. The best way in the world to have God in complete yielded obedience and in your life and my life being what we should be is to say, God, here I am. Send me. Do whatever you need to do because, Lord, I cannot be the Lord of my life, meaning dictate our life's directions. This morning, are you struggling with that? God, you know my heart. Father, you know I don't want to leave Middle Tennessee. God, I struggle with that, Lord, and I want to be obedient, but I'm scared of what you'll do. Hey, God, this morning, say this. God, forgive me of my sin of wanting to tell you what my life should be, Father. God, this morning, I want nothing more than to be in the middle of your plan and will for my life. You know what a lot of times it is that God has to do? Get us merely to the place that we'll say, Lord, I'm okay with whatever you do. How many times I've watched God leave a person right where they're at just for truly in their heart of hearts being willing to do whatever it is God wants. But most often when we don't do that, you know what he does? You ever had a 5-year-old in kindergarten or a 2-year-old taking him to pre-K for the first time? You had to pry him finger by finger off of the door frame. He does that to us as adults to teach us that we are not yielded and obedient until we are yielded and obedient. Are you trusting that the God of Elisha and Elijah, the God that revealed himself in such a powerful way, you think they got a big army? Do you know the army that fights for you this morning? You and me. It's the same God that was fighting for Elisha. Do you realize that? Do you claim that and believe that this morning? If you don't, you're outside of God's will because you don't know the God that we spoke about, that we're truly learning to grow in this morning, because that's the God that we serve. There are no limits to his protective ability over you and I. There are no limits. That's the God that we serve. Are you in his will and plan for your life? And if not, I'm going to pray. I'm going to come down here. And you have the ability today. If you recognize now that you're here and need to be here, you have that ability this morning. Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship. and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.